Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. We proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So hope you've all had an awesome week. Tonight, we're going to go actually to one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, which is John chapter 1, the first chapter of John's Gospel. And it has so much in it, but I want to concentrate not so much on the beginning of it, which is about the Word, the Logos, which I think we did just before Christmas time, and not so much on John the Baptist, but on the disciples that are called, the apostles that are called in this chapter. And it's always amazing and interesting to keep in mind that when you look at the book of John, the first couple of chapters are arranged very similar to the book of Genesis. In fact, it even starts at the beginning, like Genesis does. In the beginning was the Word. And then it goes, actually, as we're going to see a little bit of it, we're not going to read all of it, but there are divisions by day in the rest of the first and second chapter on the next day, which, of course, is very reminiscent of the creation account, very reminiscent of Genesis chapter 1 in particular. And so, in my mind, I always feel that the reason for this is that now John is writing about a new creation. You know, Paul tells us during the same time that John wrote his gospel, Paul tells us that we are now a new creation. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm a new creation. The old me was crucified with Christ. It's the new me that lives. John talks about how we live in the time where the Word has come forth, has become flesh, has dwelt among us. And so it is a new creation. And I think that's probably, in a nutshell, why it's so closely patterned after the book of Genesis. And we might talk about that a little bit more. Maybe next week, who knows? But at some time in the near future. But John chapter 1, if you've had a chance to flip there or click, I want to go down starting at verse 35. And as I say, we're not going to read all the scriptures to show you what I was talking about with the structure of the book, but we might do that some other time. So verse 35, again, the next day, there it is. Again, the next day, John, that means John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing one of them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him one day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of them who heard John speak and followed him, capital H, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Kephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus went to Galilee and found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Whew. That last part, we are certainly going to do a program on. In fact, I have a teaching which is called The Ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R, which is about that passage, that short passage about Nathanael. So I don't want to get into that particularly right now. But here we are in verse 35. John the Baptist starts this off, and you see the structure about the days, the next days, the next day. He points out Messiah to two of his disciples. The Greek that's used there means he fixed his eye on him. It's a very intense, he didn't just see him in passing, he fixed his eyes on him. And he showed his two disciples that this was the Messiah. And of course, if we lead people to Christ, which is what we should be doing, especially in the time we're living in now, where it's more important than ever to proclaim the gospel, now that we're in this abyss of darkness and immorality and rebellion, we can't just talk about him in passing. We can't just have some casual discussion. We have to fix our eyes on him, like John says here. It's intently fixed on him. We have to contemplate him all the time. John gives this testimony, and he has said, you know, one's coming who's greater than I am. I'm not worthy to even carry his sandals. And he says to these two guys, we know one of them was Andrew. Doesn't tell us who the other one is, but we know Andrew. Peter, of course, is Simon Peter's brother and becomes one of the apostles. But John consistently shows, and like Paul consistently shows a little bit later, that all of this that they're preaching and writing is not about them. It's about him, capital H. It's about Jesus. And so in order to lead people to him, we have to fix our eyes on him and contemplate him all the time. And those of you that know me know I always say, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there. You just don't get what happened there. If you don't study the Old Testament, if you're not at least a little bit conversant with Torah and the prophets and the writings, you don't get the full picture of what happened there. You don't get the full picture of what Messiah did. John the Baptist, of course, knew these things. And so he shows the Messiah to these two and tells them basically to go and follow Jesus. John's got disciples, but he says, hey, you know what? This is, you need to follow him. You need to stop following me now because I'm decreasing while he is increasing. So we know one of these was Andrew. And they followed him because of what John the Baptist said. They had heard the message about Messiah from John the Baptist. And now John actually points out, there is the Lamb of God. There is the Messiah. And you really should be following him. Now, Jesus turns to them. He acknowledges that they're following him. He takes interest in them. And he will always take interest in us when we are following. He will take interest in us. Because after all, he is concerned about us being disciples, a disciplined follower. He's not concerned about us being fans or knowing a little bit about him or saying, well, I know a little bit about Jesus, and it's kind of improved my life. It's made my life a little better. No, he wants us to follow, and he acknowledges that, because this is what our purpose is to be. In the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And so to be a disciple, he adds that you deny yourself, you pick up your cross, and follow him. So he acknowledges these two men, Andrew and the other, that they're walking behind him. And he speaks first and says, what are you looking for? What are you guys doing? He speaks first. You know, what are you doing? Do you understand what you're doing? Do you want to know what's going to happen? Do you want to know the plans and purposes I have for you? What are you doing? And they call him Rabbi. This is a very important title. There were many, many rabbis. There were many rabbis who had disciples. They were all over the place. But this indicates that they know that he's a teacher, and they want to spend time with him. They heard John say he's the Lamb of God, which is mind-boggling in itself. Now, if you don't understand Torah, you don't understand the full meaning of that. He is the sacrifice lamb. He is the lamb. They heard John say he was the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. How does he do that? Because he dies and sheds blood. And you have to understand this from Torah. You have to understand this from the prophets. And so they know he's the lamb, but they also know he's a teacher. Now, John had been a teacher, was a teacher as well. Jesus, Yeshua here, is not only the Lamb of God, but he's also a teacher, and they acknowledge it. And they say, where are you staying? They probably don't even know what to say, but the fact that they say, where are they staying, means they want to stay with him. They don't want to just say hello and go on their way. They don't want to just say, nice to meet you, and go back to John the Baptist. He says, come and see. Come and spend some time. Come and be with me for a while. See where I am. See what I do. See what I'm going to do in the future. And he wants them to come right then. He doesn't tell them, go back to John. Think about what I told you. You know, invitation here. You can come back tomorrow if you want. You can think about it for a couple of weeks and then catch up with me. No, he says, come and see right now. Right now. No time to waste. The time we're living in today, there is no time to waste. The time for church as usual is over. The time for not proclaiming the gospel is over. There are millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people that are going to be lost. And it's not going to be very long from now. So he wants them to come right then to not waste any time. And John even points out it's the 10th hour, or about 4 in the afternoon. Now remember, there's no clocks. They told time by the sun. I don't even know if they had sundials then, but it's about 4 in the afternoon. So it's even important what time they met Jesus. For those of you that have met him personally and have had your lives transformed, you probably know roughly what time it was when that happened to you. And John makes a note of it. Was the other guy that's mentioned here John? I don't know. Because John doesn't usually call himself by name. But I don't know. That's just speculation. Andrew, who definitely we know this was, one of them was Andrew, who had been an apostle, a disciple of John the Baptist, probably for quite some time, it sounds like. The first thing he does is he goes and gets his brother Simon, who of course is Peter, Simon Peter. His given name is Simon Shimon. Jesus later changes his name. But Andrew goes to get his brother and tells him that they found the Messiah. They had found what the people had been waiting for 2,000 years, 2,500 years, I don't know, a long period of time. Not only did all the events of creation and then everything else that's in Torah come about, but all the centuries of judges and prophets and kings and exile and more prophets, all of it had come down to this. They had found the Messiah. So he went and got his brother. Because when you meet Jesus, one thing that immediately hits you is you want to tell people about him. You don't go home and say, yep, that was nice. Yeah, glad I met him. Now I think I'll have a snack and go to bed. You want to tell people about him because this is the purpose that you have in your life. Come and see. Come and see. But you tell people something, they say, well, I don't know. You say, come and see. You can get shirts now from The Chosen that say, come and see. So he goes to get his brother. He knows this is different than what he had been doing all this time with John the Baptist. I'm sure he told people he was there with John in the wilderness and walking along the Jordan, but he probably didn't have the degree of enthusiasm that he has when he realizes that this is the Messiah that he has just met. And this happens, of course, in the fullness of time, like everything else, and we always talk about this. God always does everything at appointed times. Things don't happen randomly. The feast days are appointed times. The time that Jesus was born was an appointed time. The time that all these men were called were appointed times. The suffering and crucifixion and death was an appointed time with meaning, of course, because it was Passover. The resurrection was an appointed time with meaning because, of course, it was the Feast of First Fruits. So to fulfill the Feast of First Fruits, the resurrection takes place. Paul points that out in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. Pentecost, another Hebrew feast, which in Hebrew is Shavuot. The Holy Spirit comes at a feast that celebrates the giving of the law and celebrates the wheat harvest. So the big harvest starts. All these things were appointed times, and Andrew and the other one, whoever he was, whether he was John or not, heard that this was the Lamb of God, heard what John had said. John points him out. They're moved by John and especially moved by the Holy Spirit to go and find out about him. So they realize that he's the promise of the ages, to all this time they've been waiting. So Andrew doesn't teach Peter, or Simon, I guess we should call him. Andrew doesn't teach his brother Simon anything about Jesus. He just says, we found him. Come with me. Because I want to show you. And interestingly, when Simon shows up, you see, Jesus knows who he is and who his father is or was. He says, you're Simon, the son of Jonah. But I'm going to rename you Kephas. Peter is the Latin translation. I'm going to rename you Rock. He gets the name more powerfully, I guess, at the Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus says, who do you say that I am? But he renames him Peter. Now, interestingly, in the last chapter of John, after Peter has denied him and all these other things have happened, Jesus goes back to calling him Simon again, brings him back down to his roots. But that's another story. So Andrew gets his own brother after spending a really short amount of time with Jesus. Jesus knows who Peter is. Then it says, the next day. Again, there's the day structure. the next day, Jesus calls Philip. And Philip, he calls directly. He says, come and follow me. Philip's not walking around looking for him. He's not a follower of John the Baptist. He hasn't been hanging around with Andrew. He hasn't been hanging around with Peter. But Jesus says, come and follow me. Calls him directly. And sometimes he finds us directly, even if we're not looking for him. When he found me and I met him, I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't looking for him. And so he calls him directly, and sometimes he calls us directly, even though we're not looking for him. Philip didn't get up that morning and say, yep, today I'm going to find the Messiah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure today is going to be the day I'm going to get to know the Messiah. But Jesus finds him. He knew where Philip was, and he called him. Philip, of course, runs to get Nathanael. And we're going to talk about this in more detail. But he goes to get Nathanael. A very short time after meeting Jesus, Philip is also out evangelizing. And Nathanael apparently is his old friend. He's from Cana, which is near Nazareth, a little ways from Bethsaida, a little way from the Sea of Galilee. It's not far by car, maybe 30, 40 minutes, but by foot it's a little ways. But so within a short time, Philip's evangelizing. And he says to Nathanael that this is the one spoken of by Moses and the prophets. Again, going back to the Old Testament, going back to the Tanakh, he says the Torah talks about this man I just met. The prophets talk about this man I just met. So in other words, Philip tells Nathanael that Moses and the prophets prefigured this. He knew the scriptures. He knew the prefigurements that were in the scripture, what the scripture said about Messiah. And he uses this approach with Nathanael. So obviously he feels that Nathanael knows the scripture also. Now, I want to do next week's program about Nathanael, so I don't want to do all the details, but what happens is Nathanael can't believe it. Because the logical question is, okay, so you met the one that Moses and the prophets talk about, so who is it? And when he says Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth, Nathanael can't believe it. Nathanael can't believe it. He sounds very critical. Well, wait a minute. Messiah is supposed to be from Bethlehem. I happen to know the prophet Micah says that he's to be born in Bethlehem. I figured that the Messiah, once he has been born, is going to be living in Jerusalem. Because after all, he's going to be king. After all, he's going to have all the religious power, civil power. He's not going to be in Nazareth. Nazareth is a backwoods place, no education. They have a synagogue, agricultural, take care of animals. There are no institutions of learning. Backwards, as was most of Galilee. Now, Nathanael is from Cana, which is also in Galilee, but apparently he thought Cana was much nicer than Nazareth. So he can't believe it and says, ha, can anything good come out of Nazareth? This was the reputation that that area had. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? A very critical, derogatory comment. Andrew doesn't argue with him on the grounds of that, on the grounds of the prophecy that says he shall be called a Nazarene, the prophet about the root coming from the Jesse stem, which is the root word of the word Nazareth. Andrew doesn't argue any of that. He simply tells Nathanael, come and see. He's pretty sure that once Nathanael comes to Jesus and they talk, and Nathanael experiences him, he's going to know. Oh, the music's been playing. Why, this went so fast. Anyway, thanks for listening. I think next week we'll do a lot more about Nathanael. So join us next week on The Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word. We'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.